no good against vampires, is it?" said Agnes. "I've never heard of people using iron." Granny made a noise somewhere between a snort and a growl. She pulled herself across the floor, leaving a trail of mud until she reached the anvil. It was simply a great long lump of iron to accommodate the half-skilled metal bashing occasionally needed to keep the castle running. Still kneeling, Granny grabbed at it with both hands and laid her forehead against it. "Granny, what can..." Agnes began.
"Go where the others are," Granny Weatherwax croaked. "It'll need three witches if this goes wrong. You'll have to face something terrible."
"What terrible thing?"
"Me. Do it now."
Agnes backed away. On the black iron by Granny's fingers, little flecks of rust were spitting and jumping. "I'd better go. Keep an eye on her."
"But what if..."
Granny flung her head back, her eyes screwed shut.
"Get away!"
she screamed. Agnes went white. "You heard what she said?" she shouted and ran out into the rain. Granny's head slumped forward against the iron again. Around her fingers, red sparks danced on the metal.
"Mr. Priest," she said in a hoarse whisper, "somewhere in this place is an axe. Fetch it here."
Oates looked around desperately. There was an axe, a small double-headed one, lying by a grindstone.
I've found one," he ventured.
Granny's head jerked back. Her teeth were gritted, but she managed to say,
"Sharpen it."
Oates glanced at the grindstone and licked his lips nervously.
"Sharpen it right now," I said.
He pulled off his jacket, rolled up his sleeves, took up the axe and put a foot on the wheel's treadle. Sparks leapt off the blade as the wheel spun.
"Then find some wood and cut a point on it and find a hammer."
The hammer was easy. There was a rack of tools by the wheel. A few seconds' desperate rummaging in the debris by the wall produced a fence post.
"Madam, what are you wanting me to..."
"Something will get up presently,"
Granny panted.
"Make sure you know well what it is."
"But you're not expecting me to behead..."
"I'm commanding you, religious man. What do you really believe? What did you think it was all about? Singing songs? Sooner or later it's all down to the blood."
Her head lolled against the anvil. Oates looked at her hands again. Around them the iron was black, but just a little way from her fingers there was a faint glow to the metal, and the rust still sizzled. He touched the anvil gingerly, then pulled his hand away and sucked at his fingers.
"Mistress Weatherwax a bit poorly, is she?"
said Hodges Arg, coming in.
"I think you could certainly say that, yes."
"Oh dear, want some tea?"
"What?"
"It's a nasty night. If we're stopping up, I'll put the kettle on."
"Do you realise, man, that she might get up from there, a bloodthirsty vampire?"
"Oh."
The falconer looked down at the still figure and the smoking anvil.
"Good idea to face her with a cup of tea inside you, then," he said.
"Do you, understand what's going on here?"
Hodges Arg took another slow look at the scene.
"No," he said.
"In that case, it's not my job to understand this sort of thing," said the falconer.
"I wasn't trained. Probably takes a lot of training understanding this. That's your job.
And her job.
Can you understand what's going on when a bird's been trained and it'll make a kill and still come back to the wrist?"
"Well, no."
"There you are then, so that's all right. Cup of tea, was it?"
Oates gave up.
"Yes, please. Thank you."
Hodges Arg bustled off. The priest sat down. If the truth were known, he wasn't sure he understood what was happening. The old woman had been burning up and in pain, and now the iron was getting hot as if the pain and the heat had been moved away. Could anyone do that? Well, of course the prophets could, he told himself, conscientiously. But that was because Om had given them the power. But by all accounts, the old woman didn't believe in anything. She was very still now. The others had talked about her as though she was some great magician, but the figure he'd seen in the hall had just been a tired, worn-out old woman. He'd seen people down in the hospice in Abi Dayal, stiff and withdrawn until the pain was too great, and all they had left was a prayer, and then not even that. That seemed to be where she was now. She was really still. Oates had only seen stillness like that when movement was no longer an option.